Welcome back to Source of the Sofa. We are recording live Monday night, just seconds after Monday Night Football concluded, which I thought was kind of entertaining, at least in the first half. So many turnovers, interceptions, strip fumbles, all of above. First place at stake, and at least maintaining with the elites for the 49ers' sake. Panthers were tied coming into this game with the Bucs as they've kind of stumbled down the stretch. Lots of injuries, lots of tough matchups. So they had a chance to gain full possession of first place in the NFC South. They failed to do that. But it was entertaining, though. Aaron coming on very hot, off the mic, very salty, for lots of reasons, probably.
Nothing entertaining about that game, dude.
But I thought it was a good game.
I mean, if you want to see lob passes like we're throwing alley oops at an NBA game, come watch the 49ers and Brock Purdy play quarterback, because that was terrible. I agree with Jason. Get Mac Jones in and get rid of that contract right now. I didn't know Russell Wilson had a twin and Brock Purdy just throwing moonballs out there. Jesus.
As far as picks goes, Jason is on a roll. First time on our pod history that someone has won above 500 and won the weeks back to back. So congratulations, Jason. You were 7-5. What, last week? I think.
Thought it was 8-5 last week.
8-5.
Yeah, 8-5-1, and then I think I was 7-6-1, and Romy, you were 6-7-1 or whatever it was. But
no, 6-6-1. We were both tied, Aaron, me, and you, and we tied again this week. But Jason finishes this week 8-4-1. So now he's in sole possession of first place, 2-game lead. Amazing.
Yeah, Jason got smart. He sold us on the Panthers stock and then dumped it like the stock market's been doing. And fucking, I fell for that trip. But give me the Rams plus 10, 12, whatever. I'm already locking that one in.
You're telling me I was pumping the Panthers market right now just to dump it on you guys?
Just dumped it. Just dumped that whole NFC South. It's just terrible.
Terrible division.
In fact, give me the Falcons to win it led by Kirk Cousins. I'll bet them at plus like 2,000, whatever they are, to win the division now. If the Ravens can come back from 5 games below 500, I'm sure the Falcons can as well. Baker's done. Panthers are done. Saints,
this guy just wants to throw everyone off the power rankings and off every playoff list, huh?
Panthers don't want everybody. They go in the bottom 5 or bottom 8, wherever you want to pin them.
It's a tough place to play. Santa Clara. That was entertaining, though, man. It was so many turnovers. I cannot believe it.
I mean, Stafford's still thrown for touchdowns the last time he was there. It was a walk in the park.
Aaron's spicy
dude,
tonight,
Aaron, bro. You got a quarterback that threw for 448 last week, and you don't put on the Matt Stafford tape with a chance to win the division, and that's what you come out and play? I'd be embarrassed. Why don't they call it Brian Daboll? Wasn't he the coach of Bryce Young there at Alabama? Maybe he can run the OC there. I get at least an offense and analysis guy, something.
How much money you lose this weekend?
I had a good week going, and then some BS just, you know, with these couple of night games. The only primetime game that was any good was a Thursday night. When's the last time that happened?
We've been saying that. The primetime games have been pretty bad.
Thursday was good,
but it was also bad for the Bills, though, because they only had three days of turnaround time, so that sucked for them. That was a tough
Texas
way to
only
turn
had
around.
3 days, too. I mean, if you count playing the Titans a game.
Not really. Well, they did come back. Yeah, they had a fight for that one. So I guess this is the second week back to back we were at least 500 and above, so that's good. I was really worried, though, because I was not looking good going to the afternoon games. We had a couple pushes, got lucky on a few hooks, some game time decisions that I changed, at least on Twitter. Did not like the Seahawks above with the 13.5 cushion, and I was also feeling really shaky about the Vikings. Did not feel good about that, so went the other way on the X. But other than that, though, I was kind of surprised. Jason had a great call on the Saints Falcons. I went with like the quote unquote better coach, but Jason said, I'm going to go with the talent, and it really showed through in that game. So Jason's just on fire right now. I'm going to pump you up, and they'll hopefully fade you for the rest of the year. Maybe we can do like a little reverse jinx here.
I don't know. I think Jason, what we've seen in college football, he is trending in the wrong direction there in the NFL. So until he turns it around on Saturday, I think you got to follow him on Sunday.
Okay, and then also the Lions. I did not feel comfortable that morning
That line closed at 14.
Really?
Maybe I was really feeling maybe the line was built in for Dart to play, and then once he got called out, but it closed at 14.5.
Dude, that Jason or like that that Jameson catch.
Oh, I loved it, man.
Spinneroo going to the end zone, and then they kind of perfectly nailed it, like the touchdown celebration. Like, it was made for TV. It was made for like Hallmark. It was so good, man. I wish
that
they would have won.
They did that in practice, scripted it just like that, and it worked in the game. And they were like,
it was
so good.
The camera angle was perfect.
It
was, man, like Jay, he should just be like starting all the time. The guy's so good, so entertaining. Threw a pick at the end that was so ugly.
Saying it from the beginning of the season, man, I don't know why this guy wasn't in more consideration for starting. I mean, just even in a pure entertainment value, like you got to be the number one backup. He's sitting third in the depth chart. No reason. I mean, give me a little entertainment, NFL, for your bottom feeder teams, at least to watch some of these games. He comes in, absolutely delivers. You get a full Jameis experience, all sorts of wacky stuff. He was wearing, you know, he's wearing like a full outfit, like coming into the game. Then he had
all black afterwards. He looked like Blade or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing, you know, entertaining there with the fashion front. And then he was given like, you know, I forgot his pregame speech that was just like, we're playing inside and we're playing outside at the same time Just dropping bars, man. I mean, Jameis is just entertaining. This guy needs to be a certified backup in a situation where you're going to get him a couple starts a year just to have these Sundays.
Well, hey, I got to ask you, why isn't he not in one of these progressive commercials? We're calling them backup quarterbacks. Why isn't Jameis Winston the star of all of them?
They're calling every backup that's not even playing anymore, right?
They're playing. I mean,
no, you got Bridgewater, you got Tyler Huntley, you got, you know, Trubisky. So you got to get famous Jameis in there. I'm calling famous for it Jameis. Now.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. Dude,
eating
they almost
stole
that away,
W's,
though.
W's, man. Eating them
eating
W's.
W's. Well, no W's because they didn't win. It was like their sixth game being up by more than 10 points in the fourth quarter. Fifth. They fired their defensive coordinator. And honestly, they're like the best looking 2-10 teams. I think this is a really good job to have. They're really talented. They've been in a handful of these games. And man, if Detroit would have lost, that would have been really bad. They dug in deep. Jahmyr Gibbs with a big touchdown in overtime. They got lucky to get away with that one. All right, I was hoping you guys would add some more stuff to it, but
I'll just say this, Rome. I was hoping they lose because, you know, I'm just waiting to build up that video from early in the year.
Of course.
I'm just ready to pump it.
This guy's just pumped.
I'm just ready to pump
tonight.
It.
Yeah.
You know, man, I can hear that. You got some pump it up. Yeah, I got that music in the background. Like, I'm ready to rock.
Oh, man.
And I don't like this new Riverside look. I mean, I can't even see the damn freaking screen. I don't even know what's going on here.
Maybe extend the I don't know. I can't see it from your guys' angle, so I'll have to try it on as a guest one day. Nonetheless, some really close wins, close losses, some bullshit plays. Pissed off that my Steelers lost in Chicago. You got so fucking lucky, Jason. So fucking lucky.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
We're up by eight and three.
First place in the NFC North. We were up by 10 in the fourth quarter, Rome. I don't know what you're talking about. Lucky. Where was the luck in that game?
It was a shit display. Dude, I'm so pissed off at my team.
Up 10.
We were getting deflections, getting strips, scoring on defense. I don't know if you saw Rudolph in his porn mustache. How are you going to lose with that mustache? They almost had a touchdown, but they had wrong formation. That got called back. Nah, man. That was so bullshit. This Steelers team looks really, I don't know, unorganized, a mess, all of the above.
Listen, the Bears are just getting better every week, Rome. You know, putting the work in, you know, grinding it out, you know, whatever opponent in front of them, they're just winning games. I don't know what to tell you here, you know?
This is a good win by the Bears. I gotta admit, man. So
I mean, every win's a good win for the Bears, and they've got a big game on Black Friday for possibly the 1-2 seed in the NFC on the line.
That's
so
ridiculous. Oh my god!
After
is this
the Cowboys
fucking Halloween,
coming
is this
back?
Like Groundhog's Day? The 1 or 2 seed in the NFC? Come on, this can't be real.
I mean,
that's what the records show, Rome.
Someone pinch me, dude. Someone pinch me, like. Fucking wild, man. Another field goal. Amazing. Amazing. Were you happy, Jason?
Well, of course I was happy, Rome, but you know.
Yeah, I saw your Instagram post.
Yeah, you saw it. I put it out there. Yeah, I mean, I was concerned. I won't lie. You had all three starting linebackers on injured reserve, and then your drafted linebacker, who was probably their top one, gets hurt in the first quarter. And, you know, we still didn't get Jalen Johnson or Kyler Gordon back. So you're still playing with your third through fifth defensive backs. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of concern on the defense for the Bears, but turnovers, man. And they make the turnovers happen, and that's where they win these games. So I would think I would have been concerned if Rodgers would have played, to be honest with you, because if you looked a little bit deeper, Rome, like you may have liked the mustache for Mason Rudolph, but the guy didn't get the ball down the field at all. Like all yep. he was doing was dink and duck stuff every which yep. way. And, you know, I don't know how you're not going after the Bears linebackers, you know, to the point where they're starting. So I think if Rodgers is in that game, he probably takes advantage a little more. It's going to be tough. You know, same thing with the Bears game against the Giants with, you know, the Giants were in control with Dart in. As soon as Russell Wilson goes in, he couldn't do anything, you know, in the intermediate passing game or even the deep passing game, and in the Bears defense will shut it down. So, you know, there's some luck involved. I'm not going to lie about it and
yeah, of course,
pound my chest and say the Bears are one of the best teams. I don't think they are. I think this is the first year of the Ben Johnson era. The defense is flawed. You know, they give up a lot of yards. They give up big third down conversions a lot of times. You know, the Steelers went, what, like 93 yards on that drive or 97 yards or something like that.
They were
inside the five.
Like Gainwell did really well.
Yeah, Gainwell was great. So there's flaws within the Bears. I'm not saying this is going to be a Super Bowl team at all. I'm just appreciative of, like, hey, we're winning games. They're in line to get a playoff spot. It's a really tough division. They got the hardest point of their schedule, like, here going out. You know, they're putting to play the Eagles. They got two games against the Packers. They got another game against the Lions. They play the 49ers. You know, the only gimme game, and it's not even a gimme game because it's a tough defense, is going to be that Cleveland Browns game. So it's not all rosy for the Bears, and they've got some things to clean up. Now, the good thing is they're going to get some players back. There's some health, you know, that you're potentially getting in the secondary. The linebackers hopefully come back in the December push. So, there's some good things, but there's a lot of concerns. At the moment, you take the wins however you can get them, and play the teams in front of them.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not blind, Rob. I'm not blind to what everyone's saying
not.
About the Bears.
No. Congrats, dude. I was really pissed. Not in a good mood, and it is what it is, though. Some close games though this week. We had Colts Chiefs. Colts blew that one. Don't know how they didn't manage to do anything in the fourth quarter, and that especially when they were up. Chiefs dug in and kind of saved their season for now. I'm not buying it, but at least for now they saved it.
That's a big game on Thanksgiving now. Chiefs Cowboys. I think that's the game of the week, honestly.
Huge. Seahawks Titans, a little closer than what I thought. That was pretty tight. Jets had Ravens on the ropes until the second half. We barely covered that one, right? Yeah, 13.5. Thank you for the hook.
A lot of half point wins this week.
Lions escaped the Giants. We saw that one. Bears beat this my Steelers. Pats. Bengals didn't look too bad, but Pats win another one. Didn't watch the Browns Raiders, but congrats to Shador winning that one. He looked pretty decent, had some nice throws. Jags, Cardinals. We knew this might be tough. And was this the push? This was the push. And you got to figure, man, that's the Cardinals, man. What, them and the Giants, notorious for losing in the final couple seconds down by a field goal at least. And they got some heart still. So I'm not sure if their coach makes it after this year or not. Gannon, I heard there's a lot of heat behind the scenes. Cowboys, Eagles, a few epic come from behind wins. This weekend, Cowboys, I think, had the biggest one out of all of them besides the Chiefs and the Lions. The Cowboys come back and win that one 24-21. What was like a 50-yard field goal. That was pretty epic. And then we don't got to talk about the other games. I think everything else is out. But out of all these games, though, biggest win. Luckiest win.
No, I think if you got the two biggest wins, I think I talked about would be Chiefs-Cowboys because they were basically left for dead. I mean, the Chiefs were down, 11 points going in the fourth quarter?
11 points with 8 minutes to go.
And then out yardaged the Colts, like, I don't have my phone in front of me here, but it was like 200 to something to 14 in the fourth quarter, whatever the yardage was.
Can we look that up real quick? Yeah, dude, they just, like, if you look at the stats, I don't know how much came in the second half, but it just looks like they just dominated the whole game. 500 total yards versus 250.
You know, I've been...
First downs, not even close. Like, what happened to Daniel Jones? Like, what?
No, I've been a big Shane Steichen guy. I'm pinning that loss on him.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm pinning the loss on him. He just was not aggressive with the play calling. Didn't have the cojones to go for that win. When he had a chance to put the Chiefs out of their business.
Yeah.
I pin that loss on him as the head coach there. Takes the L to me. I'm not pinning on Daniel Jones and those guys.
All right, so Chiefs and Cowboys. Cowboys, big win, man. Just lots of drama with the Eagles. It's starting to remind me like that. It's starting to look like that year, like 2 years ago when they lost their OC. What? When Steichen went over to the Colts. So Dak and company, big win. George Pickens, man. Like, I loved him on the Steelers, and I was pissed when my team traded him to the Dallas Cowboys. And like, oh, you can't have two number ones. Like, why not? Because now we have nobody. Decaf has not caught a fucking thing all season long because he's not open because we have nobody else. Like, how come we had to get rid of Pickens? I know he's a pain in the ass, but Jesus Christ, look at him having a season to remember.
You think Pickens ends up staying in Dallas? I think he's gone.
To where?
I don't think they can afford to pay him.
Yeah, I don't think they can. That's why I think he's
out. I don't
know
where he goes, though. Like, but this guy's phenomenal, though.
I got where Jason was at this week, and that's where he ends up.
Okay.
What?
Vegas.
With the Raiders?
Yes.
Why there?
You have no wide receivers, an elite tight end, and you're not paying a quarterback.
Geno's still getting kind of paid.
I mean, what, 25 mil? I mean, that's a bargain for today's NFL.
Is it 25, 30 mil? That's crazy, man. That's so crazy.
Crazy the Raiders fired Chip Kelly, too. Considering,
is that crazy? Yeah,
he was the highest paid coordinator.
6 mil a year. That's not a bad gig for an OC.
He thanked the Raiders for the opportunity. He said it was a dream come true working for Geno because he liked Geno. Couldn't fucking tell based on the play calling he was putting Geno in, but.
Well, they can't run the ball, so they have to do something.
The one thing I'd say, you look at the Chip Kelly resume here, Aaron, is he a good coach?
I don't know. It's hit or miss. It kind of depends on the situation.
I mean, this is the one where he got the glow up. You know,
I don't think he's a good NFL coach, but right. For the collegiate game, I think he's good.
Yeah,
which makes me.
For like the first 2 years in Philly too, like, and then just all fell apart. I don't. It was more like the power trip, right? That kind of got him booted out.
Yeah,
I don't.
We got Howie Roseman fired the first time, or relieved of whatever duties he had because of the power struggle.
Yeah, because he was. I think he won like 11 games his first year, and then it was like all that power trip stuff happened, and then everything fell apart. Then he got kicked out, but. Yeah, you're right. He's bounced around. He had middling success at UCLA, went over, just bounced out.
Well, considering where UCLA's been the last 2 years, Chip Kelly's resume looks really good there.
I thought he should have stayed.
He was 8 mil a year there?
It was decent. It was good.
But the weirdest thing that he just leaves being a head coach because I don't want to deal with the stuff and I'm going to go be a coordinator at Ohio State and just get to the actual football stuff and then leaves Ohio State after a year, does this stuff in the, you know, NFL, gets fired. I don't know. It's just real weird when you watch these guys that, you know, they're I don't know if you call it prodigy or whatever like that. Like, I don't think anyone's stock was higher than him at Oregon. Goes to the Philadelphia, doesn't work out, gets to the Niners. You think
one year
UCLA,
at the Niners, right? 1 year at the Niners and went 5-11, 5-12.
Oh, I forgot about that, man. Yeah.
But the Niners was a bad team. That was just kind of like a fill-in at the time.
It's just an interesting career, just considering like where he was. Like, this was like the hotshot innovating offense when you think a decade plus ago. And now, you know, when UCLA hired him, I was like, oh man, this is a pretty big hire. And then, you know,
I was pumped.
Yep.
I was pumped.
Well, I think getting fired now. Yeah. Well, Chip Kelly was never like Oregon was weird because he came. Did he come from D2? Like, because he's from like what the
New Hampshire?
New Hampshire. There it is. Like Vermont, yeah. New Hampshire.
He looks like a New Hampshire guy, actually.
So he came to Oregon as an OC. Did he work under, was it Mike Belletti, whatever his name was? Because Oregon was good, but not great.
Belletti,
yeah. Yeah. Because they were good. Because I was a big Oregon guy back when they had Joey, was it Harrington back in the early 2000s? Jesus. And then he got there. He took them to another level, but he's never been a good recruiter. Like, Oregon was never recruiting, like, elite talent. Just basically USC and UCLA, all the guys that Pete Carroll didn't want to recruit, they all went up north to Washington and Oregon. And there's a lot of talent in California. Obviously, California, Texas, Florida, ton of high school talent. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Oregon and Phil Knight was sneaking out NIL back then. I don't know, but they had a lot of players.
I know.
I mean, the national championship game they lost against Auburn, remember the year the running back basically landed on the defender and then ran down the sidelines for like a 75-yard touchdown? I mean, they lost some heartbreak games in the playoff, the BCS era.
So, yeah, I don't know. Where does Chip Kelly go after this, though, with like another short stint in the NFL? That's pretty wild, but yeah. All right, so you had a couple big win nominees. Jason, you got one besides those two? Cowboys and Chiefs.
I would have said the Cowboys just because, yeah. I don't think there's anything besides that, but the Cowboys, given how shocking it was, I'm not going to lie. Aaron mentioned I was in Vegas over the weekend at the Las Vegas Grand Prix. Got home, you know, finished the Bears game, and I took a, you know, Cowboys were up, and I took a little nap, you know, a nice little Sunday afternoon nap. And then I woke up, and the game was tied going to the end of the fourth quarter. I'm like, what happened to this game? I thought the Eagles were running through them at a certain point. And, you know, A.J. Brown was getting the ball and everything like that. But, you know, the Cowboys team, definitely flawed. Can't trust the defense, you know, pretty much at all. But the offense, when it clicks, it can click, especially when Dak's in the lineup. And for him, you know, the years that he's been healthy, this team's been really good. When he wasn't healthy, like last year, and then there was health around him this year, it wasn't as good. But sitting at 5-5-1, like, you would have thought, hey, they're eliminated, they're out of it. But, you know, we're not that far removed from the Eagles just collapsing out of nowhere the second half of the season and, like, getting in by the – was it last year they basically get on the skin of their teeth?
That was two years ago.
2 years ago, they were 11-1 and finished 12-5.
Yeah,
and then got oused by was it Tampa in the first round?
I don't know.
So everything about that. I mean, the locker room is basically like it's chaos, and I guess they kind of survive in chaos and the drama of everything going on there. But at a certain point, there's got to be a boiling point, and the Super Bowl may have saved the team for a little bit, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've long said they should be the best team, but in the NFC, but right now, I think the Rams probably look better. The Niners look really good. They're slopping this thing together, and like, it's hard to say the Niners aren't what the better could be a potentially better team. Obviously, there's a lot of competition in the NFC North, but the Eagles don't look much as of a lock. And hey, they start sliding here, and the Cowboys win some games. We have to play schedule ones, but yeah, I mean, I think it's a big win for the Cowboys because it keeps them in it.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of coaches, I was thinking about this last night because you brought up Chip Kelly, how good of a coach. How good of a coach is Nick Sirianni? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if, like, Nick Sirianni's, like, such a great coach that he can keep this chaotic team alive and that they're 8-3 and continue to win. Is he a great coach for that, or is it just the talent's so good they win despite him? I really don't know. Because, I mean, if you look at his record over the 4 years there, it's hard to get rid of this guy. But like Jason and we look at every week, this team is so talented. How do you lose a 21-0 lead against a Cowboys team that is flawed beyond belief? I mean, they are flawed. We just watched them 3 weeks ago get destroyed by an Arizona team that's not very good. They were getting manhandled. I mean, it was 21-0 12 minutes ago in the second quarter. And I was looking, because we talked about the game, I took the Cowboys, And I was like, I took him off a gut, but when I was looking at all the stats, like Jason was like going to the Eagles. I'm like, all the stats point to the Eagles whipping their ass. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know. Why the hell am I going to take the Cowboys at 3.5? Yeah, but they had no business winning that game. I mean, Jason took a nap, and like he said, he woke up, he couldn't believe they still hadn't scored another point. This is not a good defense at all. I mean, they're better, I guess, getting with the trades they've made, but I mean, really? You can't score over the next, 47 minutes of that game? I mean, that's crazy there.
I love the Cowboys point differential, man. It's 8 points, 320 points scored, 314 allowed. That's wild.
Is 314 the most points allowed in the league?
No. You got Giants at 334. You have
Bengals got to be up there.
Bengals are at 360.
Yeah, I knew they had to
Bengals
be up
are
there.
Bengals are at 360. Wow. And then Titans are at 303. So,
and they have no offense. So, I mean, their defense is on the field the whole game. So that's actually probably pretty good for them.
That's not bad, actually. That's not bad. I would say a big win actually would have been the Lions coming back from behind and escaping and getting that one. That was a must for them. Wasn't a guaranteed W, but they had to get that one. And then I would say,
I think there's a lot of big wins, Rome. I mean, Lions I'd put up there. You got to throw the Ravens now in first in the division. Jaguars, big win for them. We talked about the Texans with a big win Thursday night. I mean, a lot of teams needed big wins this week. Got it. Chiefs, Cowboys, Lions, Ravens, Jaguars. Even the 49ers, they keep pace and pressure on Seattle and the Rams to keep winning. We're
nice.
All big wins.
Nice.
Not a big win for a team, but I'll say, hey, big win for a person. Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
First start. Gets a win and doesn't look like they're giving the job back to Gabriel.
Like,
so
he had some pretty crazy throws, man. This guy's still pretty athletic.
I don't know. They got the 49ers. They got the 49ers.
They got no love,
man.
Game. I like how they're starting to show like all the winning coaches, you know, like their speeches. And Stefanski barely gave any love to Shedeur in the post game. Just seeing like, yeah, dude, they don't fucking like this guy. They don't fucking like this guy at all. It's all over.
Yeah,
they got 10 sacks in that game. Rome against a bad Raiders team. Let's hold for it.
Not
NFC. The NFC South right now. I don't know if we're talking big wins right now. I mean, Aaron was kind of talking about the top of the pod, and he was having his own feelings about the Carolina Panthers. But
yeah, apparently
6-6, and they're a half game out of first right now in the NFC South.
Who?
The Panthers. Exactly. Who?
Oh yeah.
Who?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty crazy,
Aaron's man.
Yeah, Bucks have lost, three games straight now?
Three in a row.
They're banged up. They're supposed to get players back, but now Mayfield's banged up. We'll see how that is. He's carrying that team.
Well, I mean, what's interesting about that, you got the Panthers, got the Rams come in, and then a bye. Then they have two against Tampa, Seattle, and New Orleans in there. I only see them winning one of those games. If not none. They'll be lucky to win Panthers.
Panthers?
Yeah. Their only one that I see him probably getting the remainder of the season is at New Orleans. And New Orleans already beat them.
Yeah.
I mean, the Rams are going to trash them.
Well, they got the divisional game against the Bucs. You know, well, they got two against the Bucs. Oh, shit.
Yeah, and they got Seattle, too.
It's the NFL, so I'm going to say they have two more wins in that five-game stretch right there.
Yeah, but they'll probably win the rest of their games, just how this damn league goes. But now
I think they'll finish at 8.
I think the Rams trash them, hopefully.
We'll see how it goes, hopefully. Rams looking like the best team in the NFL. Stafford should be the only leading candidate for MVP right now. Just lights out. And that, I was looking like, based on my preseason predictions, man. I think you might have had
the Niners last in that division. You basically did what we did last year with the Bills. You did with the Rams this year.
With the Rams, yeah. You're right. So I had the Niners first.
Yeah.
I had the Seahawks second, so I'm looking pretty good there. I had the Cards initially third, but it's a 3-4 for them and a 4-3 for the Rams, like either or like those.
It's like a 3.5. You got them tied.
I had them under their over under of 10.5 wins. Aaron, you said 10 to 11 wins over. Me and Jason have the under on that one. Yeah, but this is all based on Stafford not playing, everything like being like a shit show, like in camp, summer OTAs, all that stuff. And he's looked like they just juiced him up with whatever Kobe got in Germany.
I remember Rome, we were in Vegas. You were talking smack on the Rams, and I told you Stafford would be fine.
You did.
I told you. My sources had told me, don't worry. If they got a Wilm out there in a wheelchair, he's gonna be fine come week one. You're like, nah, dude, it's not even walking. I'm like, dude, he's fine.
Can't even walk. That's
all a Hollywood tidbit story. Don't worry about it. He'll be fine. He's not like Clayton Kershaw that needs like 6 months off and only shows up to pitch in the playoffs out of the bullpen. He'll be ready to go first inning, throwing strikes, leading him down the stretch here.
So I needed. Yeah, Rams look good though. All right, so we were talking about the Panthers, all that stuff. Let's look at the division, I guess. Or you guys want to nominate Ass Whooping of the Week?
I think it was Tampa. Is that pretty easy? All the games were close except that one, right?
Yeah, I guess so. It could be like a...
Tampa got their ass kicked. That game was over like in the second quarter.
Yeah, all right, cool. Ass Whooping of the Week.
The only other one I think was in contention would have been the Vikings Packers.
Yeah, you want to talk shit on JJ McCarthy again? You got the mic.
Do you want me to?
I don't know if Jason and we have enough time on the show to keep going ranting about how bad JJ McCarthy is.
I saw your tweet that they sent like, yeah, whatever, man. It's still only game six, but
the only person tell one side of the story.
They're hiding him again, Rome. They're just throwing him in concussion protocol. They don't know what to do with him.
He felt sick on the airplane.
Yeah, I feel sick watching him myself play too, watching that film.
Yeah, the stat was just like, out of all the quarterbacks since 2000, the only one that's worse than him is Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, I just hate that stat.
Okay.
It was still
pretty. At least
for him.
Jamarcus Russell got $54 million in that rookie NFL contract. That's why they don't give those out no more.
Exactly.
It's just saying I question the draft pick overall. I think a lot of people were. You're a big Michigan guy, but like Michigan hid them to win the national championship game, and he's had a couple of good quarters here and there. And I think at best he's a backup in the league.
It's too early.
I think he's at best he's a third string emergency guy.
What's his alter ego?
Is it a nine? Is it his nine?
You gotta give his alter ego some chance to develop in the NFL. Biggest loss of the week. I guess he just can give it to the Vikings, I guess.
Probably the Steelers.
That's a bad loss, dude. That's a bad loss.
Yeah.
Bills, up there, too. It's up there. I mean, they're not going to win the division now.
That was a tough one. Yeah.
You kind of want to throw the Bengals in there a little bit. It's not a bad loss, but now they're getting Burrow back this week, and they're going to be sitting at 3-8. And if they could have snuck one or two of these games that were close with Flacco.
Yeah.
I know. Patriots were good. Drake May was solid, but he had some bad throws in that game too.
In the first half, he was bad, and they turned it around.
Yeah, but it's not a bad loss for the Bengals. But now, hey, you're getting Burrow back with being at 3-8. You got to go undefeated down the stretch to have a chance. Maybe, I guess.
They don't have a chance. It's just for respect now. Self pride.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about look at bad loss because Chase stupid spitting on Rams. He gets suspended.
He finally
admitted
to it.
Now you lose T. Higgins. He's out, concussion. So he's not playing Thursday. You get Chase back. Burrow's likely back. Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Bengals are up there. So I think Steelers, Bills up there. I'm going to throw out this team too because I've been hot on them all night. Panthers, you got a chance to take the division lead. And not only do you not win, you don't even show up. You don't even show up. It gets a backup team like the 49ers. I mean, the 49ers don't even have a wide receiver that could beat me in a foot race, and you're laying 15 yards off in coverage.
Come on, dude.
I'm telling you right now.
No way.
These guys have come hobbling up down to 20. I'll go 40-yard dash of any of these guys. They end up with fucking...
What'd you eat before the pod, man? What'd you fucking eat?
I'm just saying, man. I just cannot watch bad football week in, week out when I already know what's coming. I can't watch them no more, dude. I'm done. I'm taking them against every team against them the rest of the year. I don't care what the number is. Guaranteed to go at least 3-3 or 2-3.
Do you guys have the updated list of what the playoffs look like right now for both conferences? Because I don't have that up right now.
I don't have my phone on me, but I guess
you guys want to talk about that real quickly. So we got Pats, first team to 10 wins.
Pats already hit their over-under on the season win total.
Yeah, Broncos at number two, I'm assuming, at 9-2.
Yeah, you got the Broncos at 9-2. The Colts are at 8-3. And the Ravens at 6-5 would be the four seed leading the North. Wild cards right now, you'd have the Chargers and Jags and Bills all at 7-4.
Do they have the tiebreaker over the Steelers? Is that why? Ravens?
They'd have the tiebreaker. I think it's probably division or conference wins or something like that. The Ravens are 2-0 in the division. Steelers are 2-1. Ravens 4-3 in the conference. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's probably division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, you got a close race. You're going to have 8, 9, and 10 with Houston, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City. So, I mean, it's going to be tight. You know, the Jags and Chargers 7-4. I don't know. They're hanging in there. It's crazy when you look at like point differentials for teams. The Chiefs plus 76. You know, Texans plus 61 now, Bills plus 59, but, you know, Chargers plus 8, Jags plus 17. Like, winning games, but winning games close. Like, comes down to a few of these down the stretch. Like, it's going to matter. So, we'll see.
And then the NFC?
Rams leading the conference now. Probably going to be the one seed, more than likely, but they're one. Eagles, Bears, 8-3, 2-3. Tampa Bay leading the South 6-5. Then you got the Seahawks at 8-3, the Packers at 7-3-1, and the Niners at 8-4. So you got the Lions at 7-4, and Cowboys 5-5-1, and the Panthers 6-6 on the outside looking in. So,
dude, it is so tight in the NFC.
I would say it's more tight in the AFC. I think NFC, Cowboys, Panthers probably don't got a shot. Their shot is winning the division, probably not a wild card.
And so 100%, really, yeah.
So really you're looking at, you probably have the Bears, Packers, Seahawks, Niners, Lions. One of those teams is not going to make the playoffs.
Do you guys think Bucks still win the division?
I'll say yes.
Can Panthers steal it away?
The Panthers, I mean, the Bucks play a lot of bad teams. But because they're going to play the Cardinals and Saints coming up. They have a game against the Falcons, but they do have two games against the Panthers. So if the Panthers are going to win the division, destiny a little bit in their hands that they're going to go head to head with the Buccaneers down the stretch. But the Panthers got to play the Rams. Aaron's already betting his life savings on that game. And they got to play the Seahawks. So, you know, they're playing
tougher schedule.
Two of the top. Yeah, a little bit tougher schedule. So I with Buccaneers, I think, got it. I think the Panthers' hope's a little bit gone at this point.
Well, I think it depends, too, on the health of Baker Mayfield. I mean, I know it's a non-throwing, AC joint sprain.
Left so shoulder, but he couldn't throw the ball in the
struggle. He's basically got the same injury that Joe Flacco has, but I think Flacco's is in his throwing arm. But, yeah, I mean, you still got to use your arm to, I don't know, yeah, whenever he threw the ball there at the end. So that's worrisome. But Tampa, they supposedly Bucky comes back next week. Mike Evans still coming back down the stretch. So they've got some guys they got to get back on defense. They got to get Haason Reddick. Got to get Jermaine Dean back. They have a lot more reinforcements that can help this team, Tampa, if they can get right. But if Baker's not right, I have no faith in career backup Teddy Bridgewater getting in there and getting it done.
Yeah. Final comments on the week 12.
Yeah, I think it's really the transition point into the playoffs right now. As we went through, you know, the tops of the NFC, there's going to be a lot of games down the stretch are going to mean for this playoff positioning, who gets home field advantage. Aaron mentioned that Buffalo loss. Like, at the beginning of the season, we were talking about, hey, Buffalo, number one seed, make the AFC, go through Buffalo. That looks like it's completely gone for them. Now they could, you know, likely going to be on the road, if not for all their games, at least, you know, the AFC championship game. So still a lot to play for down the line. But, you know, Rome, we have eliminated teams here on Sources from the Sosa. Sources from the Sofa. Can't even pronounce our podcast name.
Yeah.
The Sosa. But one team officially, mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. I don't know if you saw that, Rome.
I did not know.
The New York Giants are officially eliminated.
Ah, damn. Good team.
I mean, hey, I've always liked the Giants. They just can't win games, man.
Yeah.
I'll be apologetic for them. I'd rather watch them any day than that damn Carolina team. I'll tell you that right now.
I do like the Giants team, though.
They're fun. They're a fun watch. As long as Russell Wilson ain't out there. Oh, God. Yeah. I'd rather sit there and watch a bunch of rocks.
That's a good job. Whoever takes that next year, I think that's a potential for a quick turnaround and to make some noise. Maybe not like automatic playoff berth or anything like that, but at least to be competitive.
It's an interesting job. You get neighbors.
Yeah, the defense are stacked. They got talent on the offense. They got a young quarterback. Scatabubu, if he comes back without any boo-boos, is he mentally there, you know?
What's up? Nuts, I mean, dude. What's up if he was on what, WWE Raw? Jason?
Why the fuck was he on that, dude?
He was on Raw, man. We talking about? He didn't get super physical or anything. Let the guy have some
fun.
Not
for me to be worried. I'm not even like the team president there. I'd be like, nah, man, that's a no go. Get his ass out of there.
He wasn't even. He was just at ringside. Had other guys from the Giants and other
people
there. Pushed
another guy.
Oh, he pushed exertion.
Romy, that didn't look planned. It's all part of the script.
That did not look part of the script. That looked ad libbed, and you could see him like moving in his little knee scooter. I don't know. I got nervous.
Yeah, he was at the UFC event the week before as well, or that weekend.
He was, yeah.
So I saw him there.
All right. Let the man live, all right?
Let the man live, yeah.
I want to go back onto Aaron's rage about the Carolina Panthers, though. We started the podcast with it, was in the middle. You know, Aaron really is just, you know, I sold him a stock that he is not happy about, apparently.
No. I'm not even getting a penny's worth on that damn stock. So I'm done. I'm done with Carolina. This team sucks.
You just saw him for against a tough game, the Niners.
Tough game? I mean, you can pass on the Niners. Like anybody can pass on the Niners.
Not really.
Go throw on the Baker Mayfield tape. Go throw on the Matt Stafford tape.
Well, not all of them are winners, man, but they play pretty tough.
I mean, you got a quarterback coming off 448 yards. Against a defense, Atlanta, who's ran by the same guy, Robert Saleh, your mentor. He runs the same damn defense.
Yeah.
Sure, he's going to throw some wrinkles your way. Guess what? You got to throw some wrinkles, too.
I think we're ready to talk about college football.
I'm ready to be an offensive fucking assistant analysis consultant for the Panthers. I can do a fucking better job than that. Send me a play sheet.
What is that, the quality control guy?
Yeah. Give me a fucking headset on. I'll buzz down to fucking Canelo. Hey, sheet 3, play 2B. Let's fucking run it.
You guys want to take a quick break or go straight into a college football?
I think Aaron needs a break. He needs to hydrate a little bit, calm himself down.
I think I need a fucking real liquor, man. I might go get some stuff.
Actually, drink some liquor, man. You probably need it more than anybody. I had a crazy weekend already with liquor. I'm done.
He does need to calm down a little bit. So maybe Aaron, go prep himself a drink.
You know what? I got more hot stuff when we're going into college because I saw some story yesterday. I'm already hot about that. So that's probably what's led me to get a little hot coming into these segments.
All right, we'll be back with some college football after this. College football recap, week 13 in the books. It is a blur now since we're kind of recapping this Monday night, but Oklahoma had a big win. They needed that. Lots of pushover games for a lot of teams like Alabama and Notre Dame just blowing people out of the water. You should have had Notre Dame at the plus 70, Jason, or 63, since that was not even close.
Yeah, I regretted not taking that one. I was like, yeah, that's a lot of points. I don't know if they really take it
39?
Yeah, it was something like 36.
That's a lot. They easily covered, trying to show off points.
Wait, I didn't watch the game, obviously. How did they go up 21-0? Because they said they were up 21-0 before they even had an offensive snap.
I'll be honest. I wasn't watching the game because I was in Vegas. So I just saw a Jeremiah Love highlights. Like they just handed him the ball and then he run to the end zone and no one touches him. So yeah,
I don't know if that's true. Like I guess the man had a kickoff return and a couple
it was
pick
the first
six.
Quarter.
Yeah, it was 35-0 in the first quarter. They already covered in the first quarter in that game.
That's crazy, man. That's fucking crazy. Dude, I'm trying to remember any other games in that one. I think, Georgia Tech, big loss. Illinois, big loss to Wisconsin. And then Oregon, big win. Shut up everyone that was up on USC's crotch all year round.
We called that on the show, Rome. Oregon. Yeah, so. While everybody else was on USC, we were on Oregon here.
I loved it. So always happy when USC loses.
Besides three touchdown favorite against UCLA this week in Rome.
Three?
Yeah, 21.5. Early line that I saw.
I like when UCLA to cover, dude. I like when UCLA to cover.
What did they beat 48-14 at home against Washington?
I don't know, actually. I like my phone's not giving me updates anymore.
I think you turned it off, Rome. I think you got the same phone that I get for updates for my team. You just don't want to see it. I hit ignore.
Florida State. Well, Florida State's keeping their coach.
Yeah. I hit block. I hit block on that.
Was that what you're so mad about?
It's up there.
Okay.
Oh. So you're not happy that they're keeping Norvell?
No.
No, he's been calling for his firing all year.
I said he should have been fired after Stanford, Rome.
Yeah, and now they're not because they are all in alignment. But did you hear how much they owe?
No, it's because they don't have the money for the buyout. Well, that's why they're keeping them.
Do you know how much it is?
$72 million.
The whole staff, yes.
Yes.
The other thing about not firing these guys, too, because I think Penn State and a little bit LSU until we'll see what Lane Kiffin does here. But, like, they fire these guys, but then, like, what's your backup plan? Who's the coach out here is going to do, like, a better job? And so, you know,
James Franklin have one.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they do.
Let's just be honest. Florida State's way underachieved. You can almost get – you can get a coach that can do better than what they're doing right now.
100%. Why are they doing so badly? They've had a great recruiting classes. They were just literally just – a bad quarterback's leg away from competing in the national championship. That was just 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, look at the last time they won a road game was against Florida 2 years ago. They haven't won a road game since.
Dude, I saw that stat. I'm like, what? That would get anybody else fired. There was a funny stat.
Not when you're owed $72 million for your whole coaching staff.
I think it was like Kiffin and him and Sarkisian and Smart. Like they're all friends. And I guess they have like an elite college, you know, football.
Well, they're all owned by what is it? Jimmy Saxon? Is that through their?
I don't know. But Norvell's not obviously not in it. But they're like, oh, lose one game, whatever. Lose two games, people want you fired. But lose three games, you're definitely fired. You know, they're talking about Franklin getting axed. But Norvell's staying alive.
Well, Franklin was axed. Going back to Jason's point, because here's the thing, and Norvell has it as well, but Franklin's still a hot commodity in the buyout from Virginia Tech. Penn State only owes him $9 million.
Yep.
The problem is... Go ahead.
Did you say... I didn't know a ton about this contract, but there was something about Franklin's buyout where he had to like make a reasonable effort to find a comparable
employment?
Job. Yeah, mm-hmm. Comparable employment, and then
that's whatever, a lot of people's contracts.
Whatever he couldn't get is different. I mean, because a lot of that was the first time I had heard that. Because a lot of these guys like sit on this money and aren't
like
moving,
Brian Kelly's like, going to.
Yeah,
but Brian Kelly's old. He's old though.
Who was Kingsbury? That it was really big a part of his.
Well,
contract.
he got like $16 million. But Kingsbury, best from the Cardinals, right?
Employment. Yeah, but he didn't. And so everyone accused him. I think they went to court for that. Then he finally got the Washington job last year. But yeah, that was a big part of that contract, too. It's pretty common, a lot of contracts, but I don't think it's.
Yeah, I haven't really heard that. So that's interesting. Well, we knew James Franklin was going to get a job. In fact, I'll be honest.
He would have made more money not playing, right?
Yeah, but I mean, James Franklin's what, 50 years old? Yeah, but James Franklin's like 50. Here's the funny thing is, if Florida State had the money, James Franklin would be at Florida State. Because James Franklin, if you remember back going against Virginia Tech when they played him 2 weeks ago, Florida State, or a week and a half ago now, the story came out that Virginia Tech basically gave James Franklin a hard deadline because the rumor was maybe Florida State was going to move off Norvell and Franklin was going to go there. But
that's
like you mentioned,
Rome, Franklin at Virginia. He's from the
area. Virginia Tech and Florida State aren't comparable jobs. You'll take Florida State over Virginia Tech any day of the week. But like you said, Roman, it's a $72 million buyout for the current staff. Then you got to invest in the new staff another $60-plus million. So it's really a $130 million investment. So you just come out, you make a statement where you all lie. That'd be like us going off the air, restarting the show and agree, oh, yeah, the Carolina Panthers are a great effing football team. No, they're not. Okay? Not enough money is going to get me to say that they are.
I'm like, you haven't seen any quarter of them play? Like,
no, I've watched them, Rome, but I'm saying on just one single screen, that's them the only game. This is the first time. Because I always have like four games on one screen, two and three on another, you know, multi-view. So this is the first time I've actually blown them up as a single game from start to finish. And I feel like I went from 2015 eye vision to 2030 after watching it. I'm going to have to call my eye doctor and sit and ask for my and ask for a free exam. But going back to Florida State, guys, look, they don't have the money. I think the two reasons why, the main reason is the money. And then number two, Romy mentioned recruiting class. This is probably Mike Norvell's best incoming recruiting class in the 6-7 years he's been there. So obviously with early signing period coming December 3rd through the 5th, if you get rid of them now, you're going to lose, you know, at least half your commitments. So that means your recruiting class is basically botched. Another thing, when I look at it, Florida State's maybe the fifth best job available right now on the market. LSU's a better job. Florida's a better job. Auburn's a better job. Penn State's a better job. So do you really want to get in a bidding war of all these other programs? Or do you just throw more money like they say they're going to in an NIL, hope for the best? Because here's the thing. I don't know what, you know, they say they're going to make structural changes, and we'll see how that all goes out. I mean, they made a lot of changes last year. I mean, the team has improved from 2-10 to 5-6. They'll probably lose to Florida and finish 5-7. So it is an improvement if you look at it that way. But here's a good thing for Norvell. The ACC is a train wreck, and they could easily come back next year and win it.
Yeah, five teams ranked right now.
It's a train wreck of a conference, Rome.
I mean, we thought that this year. They come out in week one. You think they're back. It's going to be close and not.
In Rome.
Dude, isn't it crazy how things change?
In Rome, you asked me why Notre Dame's ahead of Alabama, and I told you because that Florida State loss looks worse. It looks again worse this week that they continue to lose to NC State, who has like
I don't know who they lost to. I mean, I'm not surprised that they're losing these games. It's kind of
It crazy. doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. It's just it's like they're not even trying.
And, you know, Miami, I know, Rome, you've been backing them
all
year.
Is Norvell a good coach? We should be asking that question. They obviously have no game plan, no schematics. They have no coaching in every position level.
Norvell's kind of like in the weirdest spot, dude, because he's now this is his sixth year. He's going to have four losing seasons in six.
And they got worse every year.
Well, what's weird, like I said, Rome, it's weird because he's the only coach. He had the longest winning coaching streak of any coach over like the last 10 years when he won 19 in a row. That's better than Saban, Kirby Smart, all those guys, because they all lost at least one game every year in the SEC. So he does have a 19-game win streak in there. And then we all, like you talked about, they got stripped from the playoff when they should have been in the Final Four. I think they would have went on to win the title that year had they not gotten stripped. That's just how bad it is.
No chance.
But I think they would have beat Michigan. They matched up very well with Michigan. I mean, You see what the Rams defensive line looks like. It's just basically all Florida State guys on there, just dominating people.
All right.
A little cleanup for the segment. I will say Aaron mentioned Jimmy Sexton, the agent. So in addition to Norvell, Nick Saban, Kalen DeBoer, Kirby Smart. So this guy gets people paid.
Jimbo Fisher.
Gets people paid. And so, yeah, I think to Aaron's
and
point.
And he's Lane Kiffin too, right?
I don't know if he is.
I think he is Lane Kiffin.
He might be. I mean, there's a lot of ties to the Bama contingent there. So, yeah, he gets people paid. So I'm sure beyond the money aspect of it, I think the reputational stuff that this guy holds a lot of weight with where coaches are going to be. Because you remember when the Bama opening came, it was Norvell and Kalen DeBoer were the only logical successors because it was all Jimmy Sexton clients. So
yeah. And that's what the bidding war was. And then Florida State had more money than Washington, and Kalen DeBoer went there. The other name was, Sarkisian, but he wasn't leaving Texas. So, I mean, look at what's Lane Kiffin going to get? I heard he's getting offered, $90 million by LSU? Is that the number?
Yeah.
I mean, ESPN headline is Lane Kiffin has a near $100 million decision coming Saturday. He better win Friday.
Yeah, he has not done well when his name's in the room.
He's not that good in the Egg Bowl. I mean, that's not going to be an easy game at Mississippi State.
Dude, it's been too much noise around that. I just wish he would have just said, like, no, I'm staying at Ole Miss. He's making good money. They're going to put more money into the program.
But do you think
much better? Like,
but do you think if he was going to stay at Ole Miss, he would have already accepted? Or is he just kind of, I mean, how many more millions can you drag out of a university? Is that what it is? Or does he really, like, want to challenge himself somewhere else?
Well, that's the thing. You know, everyone says if he's going to make a change, he should do it now. But that's why people don't like Lane Kiffin either, because he always jumping around from job to job.
And that's why I said he would never be. That's why I said he wouldn't be good for the NFL realm. He's perfect for college because you can play this Mickey Mouse game. It's part of college. Part of college athletics.
Parcells kind of did that. Jumped around
to a degree, but yeah. I think for Lane, you're talking about his 1 year in Tennessee and immediate to USC, and I think USC was the job of jobs for him at this time because that's where he kind of came up in that Pete Carroll era. But yeah, I mean, he went in the Nick Saban rehabilitation tour back in Alabama, and then, you know, but I think at this point, I think it's just Ole Miss is just a tier below some of these other schools in the SEC and where it's at when you look at their resources. Yeah. I think we just look at resources where it's going to be. Like, I mean, I don't know the financials and where you get these people, but LSU's, you know, LSU's a public university and they got all these drama with Kelly and them haggling over, like, who's in charge there too. Like, I mean, I know they got resources there, but they got enough resources if they fire Kelly because he's so bad and then they can't really fire him and they don't know where the money's coming from. And like, are the resources really there? Because yeah. LSU's been successful. They just like put like, every 5 years, okay, we got the greatest team of all time, and then it's drama for the next 5 years.
Well, did you hear about some of the conditions if Kiffin goes to LSU? There's some rumors saying that they would welcome Ed Orgeron on the staff.
Yeah, I did see that.
And
they worked together at USC.
Yes.
Yeah, and Ed, I like Ed, so maybe that's enough to entice.
I mean, look, I like Ed as a coach and a person. But like Jason and I touched on before, he got a little too up on himself down in Baton Rouge.
He won a championship, bro.
Which is fine.
It's
but,
hard. It's not a lot of those.
No, it is very difficult. It is very difficult, and you got to give the man his props. And that's why LSU would say, hey, you're welcome back, just not as the head guy. But maybe like Jason just touched on, LSU doesn't have the money, and they got rid of Brian Kelly. It basically went to the governor and said, hey, we don't have the money, but the governor hated Kelly and hated the direction. He just said, fire him. Florida State doesn't want to end up in the same boat as LSU because they don't have the money the same.
I don't like it when a public institution is saying, like, this is on the tax dollars. I'm like, dude, we should never be using tax dollar, that word tax dollars, because paying coaches this exorbitant amount of money doesn't matter. You know, that's just ridiculous. Like, that's just not a good look. Like, LSU, to me, just kind of pegged down a few spots after that whole ordeal, and then not paying Kelly, and then all of a sudden, Kelly just got fired this past week.
So, yeah, supposedly the clerk allegedly finally filed the paperwork.
Well, because the lawsuit, Kelly's like, I got you.
Yeah. Yes. Was that after they didn't let him come back for senior night for his son, and his son was repping everything like something tragic happened to him? He's on the team, apparently.
Oh, dude, I didn't know.
Is
that.
He like a long snapper?
That.
Is his son like a long snapper? Yeah, like right? Or something. Yeah.
So he walked out on senior night with like no parents and whatever like that. And so everyone was going out there.
That's messed up, dude. That is messed up.
That is kind of messed up. Actually.
I mean, I could see not letting Brian Kelly, but at least let the mom, the grandma, or somebody come out.
I'd be pissed, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really talk to my family, but
you know what? I would say,
look, them to be there.
Well, I mean, if he's on the football team, then at least you like him.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Yeah.
I would say, hey, look, I'm not going to show up, but I want an extra $1 million not to make a visit about it on X.
All right. Is there any pressing issues with college football this past week? Or I know the new CFP playoff things come out tomorrow. I didn't really check up on the new rankings, but I'm assuming not much has changed. We had a couple big losses. Georgia Tech is definitely out. Like, they totally fucked up and shat the bed on that one. How do we do on the games of the week, though? How we do with the loss of the week?
Locks on the week went 2-1.
Nice. So classic. Back on track, dude.
Back on track. We hit BYU. We hit Oklahoma. Talking about Florida, I don't know what happened to them. I mean, Tennessee hadn't won a game in the swamp in 22, 23 years, and they just laid an ass whipping on those guys.
Yeah, I didn't like that one, but
that might be the worst game of the week in Florida versus Florida State. So do not touch that one, boys. It's a pick'em, and that's literally a pick'em if you even want to watch that game.
Florida State has to win to be belt bowl as well, I think, right?
Yeah, they do. But since Norvell's going to be around, might as well win. I mean, there's no consequence if he wins or loses, so might as well get bowl eligible.
Might as well end up in the Penske Auto
Center. Sun Bowl. El Paso against Nebraska. Jesus. We'll go. That'll be a good one. Tiger Bowl in El Paso.
I thought Nebraska was on the up this year, man.
What's up with the recruiting class in Nebraska? 9 commitments? That's bad.
D commitments, right?
No, only 9 guys committed.
And 6 D commitments, right?
Maybe. I mean,
they're losing guys right now.
So maybe the money's dried up there. They paid Matt Rhule. They got no more money for recruits. That's what happens. You start paying these coaches.
I'm tired of Nebraska just hiring like the next fancy guy just so he can do the same thing and just go 500, not change a thing.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, we'll do the college. We're going to do the college preview. I mean, he got them to a bowl game, something they hadn't done in like 9 years.
All right. So we have Thanksgiving this week. I don't know the schedule, when the lines come out, all that stuff, but you guys will help.
Everything will be out Wednesday, Rome. So Wednesday I'll be at my parents' place. You guys want to record? We could do it.
We will call Wednesday the Big Turkey Day pod. We'll do it live. I don't think we can do it live, actually, on our platform.
You and Bill O'Reilly now? We'll do it live!
It'll be kind of cool.
I think a lot to talk about probably Wednesday once we get these college football rankings. Because I think there is a lot of drama behind that. You mentioned the Georgia Tech loss, but Aaron's beloved ACC is going to throw this thing into the seventh circle of hell.
Bad.
Because Miami is on a crusade right now of the disrespect that they're receiving because they beat Notre Dame. But all else right now with Notre Dame winning out, Notre Dame's in, Miami's out. They finish with the exact same record, and Miami wins head-to-head, but you're going to try to shove 5 SEC schools in this thing. And Miami doesn't get the chance even for the ACC championship game to get the automatic ACC champion bid, so which means the ACC would have to get 2 teams for Miami to have a shot. And so the committee, you know, the comments about eye test versus on the field stuff and everything like that is going to be really interesting. And so I think as this thing comes out, we got some head to heads going on this week, but I think there's going to be a lot of drama come out of Aaron's beloved ACC conference and the Hurricanes out of Miami.
I know what it is. The background is more prominent on our recording. So they've shrinked out all the tiles.
Yeah.
That was never live right there.
Okay. Crazy. Thanks for catching that, Rome, after an hour recording. Appreciate your input on that. No, I mean, going back to what Jason said, I mean, Miami, they, I mean, look, for them to get into the ACC title game, here's the thing with Miami. They're playing Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh. We saw what Notre Dame did to these guys 2 weeks ago. Miami's literally got to win like 60-0. Like, they literally have to win 60-0 and say, look, we beat Notre Dame. We just beat the team Notre Dame beat the shit out of, and we beat them 60-0. We should get in. That's really their only case and chance. Unless SMU happens to lose, Virginia happens to lose, all these teams just happen to lose, and Miami wins and sneaks into the ACC title game. It's unfortunate because Miami is the best team in the ACC, but they're not going to likely get into the conference championship, and their bad losses are going to keep them out, even though they beat Notre Dame in the opening game of the year. Unless, like I said, they win 60-0 and make a statement to the committee, like, you have to let us in. That's their only shot.
Well, it's unfortunate because, yeah, Pittsburgh, SMU, Georgia Tech, they've all had some pretty big losses recently. They just kind of, like, soured the whole deal. So, that's tough.
Like Jason has touched on, I agree, Mario Cristobal, he's just good for losses. He's just good for losing games, not showing up. Off a bye week, they lose to Louisville, who's now shit the bed.
Shows up more than Norvell.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he's winning that matchup.
Who isn't beating Norvell right now? I mean, Stanford beat them. And then look at Cal. At least
Stanford
at least,
had
At least Cal has some balls to fire the coach after losing to Stanford. That's how bad Stanford is.
It cost him his job, dude.
Yeah.
We had some fires this week, dude. Cal just said, you're out of here. And I didn't even know Ron Rivera's the GM for Cal. He's
first of all, Ron Rivera shouldn't be the GM for anybody. I think Jason will agree with that.
Wasn't he with didn't he like turn the Carolina Panthers upside down?
Is he a Cal graduate? Is that where he's from?
I don't know.
I don't know. He's old, so I don't, you know, I don't know. But let's, I'm gonna look that up right now.
No, yeah, they lost pretty badly to Stanford, and they were heavy favorites, and cost them his job. You're right.
And look, he's gotten some six straight bowl games in the 9 years there. He's done good at Cal. He's done good at Cal.
He was, Ron Rivera was an alma mater alumni of Cal.
Yeah. Yeah. He should not be the GM of your football program. I think Jason would agree with that.
Year.
Well, I don't know. The GM of Stanford over there, man, just he's, you know, one of us during the middle of his interview, yo, yelling ball when the ball was out, you know? Good old Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck there. I do. And I looked at, I mean, I don't know who's going
to
coach at
Every
Stanford.
Time Aaron has gone out of his way to say how terrible Stanford is, they've won a game.
Well, I will say this, Rome. There is part true in that. They did beat Cal. They did beat Florida State. Two teams I was high on early in the year. I did say take Miami minus 30.5 against them. They beat them by 35. So I have been right about Stanford sucks. They recovered. Stanford didn't even have an offensive point in the first half of this game and led because they recovered two fumbles for scores, for touchdowns. That was their only points in the first half.
Dude, I'm sorry, man. Like, I just don't know what conference is Stanford in?
The ACC.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So is Cal.
Stupid.
It doesn't make any sense, but yeah, remember they were on the outside looking
in. I was
like,
why are they playing each other? Okay, all right. Thanks for clarifying that. Stanford, 3-5, man.
They
in
suck.
Conference, solid.
Guess what? Better record than Florida State. 2-6, conference.
Yeah.
With a win over them because the...
better than North Carolina at 2-5. Better than Virginia Tech, Franklin's new home.
Hey, Franklin was living it up, man. He was living it up there on the sidelines at Virginia Tech. Covered against Miami.
He was there?
Yeah. He was there. He was going around shaking fans and... all around in the stadium.
He'll do fine.
James Franklin's going to do good at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron, when you said Cal fired their head coach, I knew he wasn't the head coach, but part of me just want to say they fired Jeff Tedford.
Oh, I love Jeff Tedford, dude.
I just feel like he's still the coach of Cal, you know?
How long ago was that?
I had to look it up while you guys are talking. Like, it was 2012 is when he left Cal.
Where's Tedford now? Because I know he was at Fresno State, but he had some health issues. Is he still coaching?
He's not. Last thing was 2023 at Fresno State. He did.
Yeah, because I know he had some health issues, so he stepped away. But I've always liked Jeff Tedford at Cal with Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch. He had some good teams at Cal.
He has a pretty good team.
Cal hasn't been good since Wilcox took over and they got rid of him.
Yep. They had Rodgers.
Yeah. And Wilcox, you can look this up, but was he – I know he was at USC with Sarkisian. I don't know if he was there with Kiffin as, like, his D corner, but I think he was the defensive coordinator for Steve Sarkisian at USC when he was the SC head coach. That's how Wilcox parlayed that into the Cal Berkeley job.
Hmm. Interesting.
I like Wilcox. I think it's a bad fire by Cal. Bad hire in Ron Rivera. They can hire us three for half the fucking price they're paying that guy. We could do a better job.
All right.
I think that's what we'll I should. Up. I think that's what I need to get into is just doing GM stuff, man. I'm tired of all these guys just getting gigs, not knowing what they're doing. Basketball, football. I'm available for whatever, man.
Dude, all these guys are
500. Yeah. I mean, what are the Sacramento Kings doing?
You're gonna have to show them some different numbers besides the yellow pad, though. They're gonna want some Excel files. You know what an Excel file is?
Look, man, the yellow pad's hard and legal. Look, I already gave you the answer to the Raiders' problems. Sign George Pickens in the offseason. That's step one.
Steelers should have kept him, dude. All right. I'll do it for a college football. We're good?
I think we're good. I think we're good, Rome. I don't want to talk about how Nebraska got their ass kicked by Penn State. We don't need to talk about that.
Dude, I didn't even I didn't watch it. I was preoccupied on Saturday. Let's say that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll get into we'll talk Wednesday, but previewing the games coming up. But, you know, we talk about all these playoff teams with Rome. I saw something on FanDuel with Michigan. They're saying if Michigan beats Ohio State, 90% chance they make the field, the playoff field.
Yep. Yep.
So we'll see.
Don't
who,
keep it tight.
I don't know, man. Ohio State's so fucking good, though. I'm actually worried like this might be the year they just finally returned the favor for all those like past, what, 4 or 5 years?
I think Michigan's going to win again.
Oh, dude, I would love it.
Notre Dame could be out if Michigan wins.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I would even love it even more.
Yeah, it's crazy, but we'll see. I mean, comes back to the old. Well, they lost to what, Oklahoma, SC got beat by Notre Dame. Yeah, it becomes a lot interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I already told you guys, I'm taking Michigan plus 10, 9, 8, 12, whatever they are this week. That's my one pick for the college contest. I like Michigan.
All right. So besides Norville keeping his job, what else kind of pissed you off before the pod today? Besides you taking a big L tonight with the Panthers.
Well, I mean, like I said, Rome, I haven't watched the Panthers on a full screen. They eliminated me from week 9, the Circus Survivor, had a good run going there. So just watching that, I think it all kind of correlated. The built-up tension just came out. Like Norville, bad news Sunday, watching this Panthers game, you know, having to live through another 5-7, 6-6 season with Florida State next year is not something looking forward to. But hey, you know, I'll say this. You know, we talked about him in the early segment. I think Gus Malzahn, he might move on from OC at Florida State. Why don't you bring in Chip Kelly? Let's see how good these two non-good coaches are work together. Maybe that's the magic formula to go 12-0 or 0-12. I don't know.
Chip Kelly would do well in Florida State. That's kind of his.
I think he would.
That's a good idea for him, actually.
Why not bring him back?
You always throw these bullshit names out of the air and like, oh, that actually
Rome, it's
sense.
Not bullshit. Rome, it's just people. Talk to me and Jason, the sources. We've got connections everywhere. You got a phone, you got a sofa, hit us up. We get, you know, information comes in, comes out.
All right. Catch our all Thanksgiving pod for college football and NFL. It's going to be hard to push it out by Wednesday, but sometime Wednesday, early Thursday, time for Turkey Day. I'll do it. Source from the sofa. We are out.